Moving along with Malach of Topher. So last time we discussed a number of reasons why a safety pin is not the Malach of Topher, it's not sewn. So Moshe offers an important Hagdara, a way to sort of encapsulate the underpinnings of the Malacha in order to not only address safety pins, but everything similar to them, and provide a fundamentally sewed, so the nature of Topher. So let's revisit what we said yesterday. Topher has a sister Malacha of Korea. Tearing, the opposite of sewing, it would seem, right? So you have kosher and matir. You have tying a knot and untying a knot. That's another way to connect and disconnect two things. So what's unique in terms of the qualities that define Topher and its opposite malacha of Korea? So he says, if you look at Korea, the opposite side of the malacha, then you'll see the key. You actually combine two different things. In order to separate them, you need to tear them apart, right? So then you know you have Topher. If I connected two fabrics, and to undo that connection, I need to rip, so then you know you've created, to get to that point, something which involves the malacha of Topher. So let's say you have two pieces of fabric, like two sides of your shirt, and you button in the middle, right? So the buttons close the shirt. That's not Topher. Right? Because if I were try to rip them apart, what would happen? Probably just pop off the buttons, right? I wouldn't be ripping any seams or any stitches. So what does that show you? It shows you that the chibur that put them together was not something that requires tearing or ripping to return into the original state. So that's one reason why buttoning is not Topher, because if I need Korea to undo it, it's not going to undo it, right? It's just going to pop off the buttons. Unlike if I have two squares of fabric and I sew them, you know, in the classic form, and then I have to tear them, right? That would be the way to undo what I did to begin with. So then you can appreciate that there's Topher and Korea, two sides of a coin. Unlike the story with the buttons, and unlike when I'm using a safety pin, right? The two parts that are connected by the pin are clearly and evidently distinct. At this point, in the absence of any tefillah, there's no stitches. So, likewise, if you attach something like a pin, a woman puts, like, let's say, a pin on a garment, if you pull it off, you wouldn't be tearing the pin, right? You would just be pulling off the connection that's between the two. So, it's clearly not a connection that would be considered tofer if the result of separating them is not correct. So, good. So, we established that the Abmalach of tofer is primarily when there's actually sewing taking place, adding stitches to two parts of a garment. But what about stitches on a person's skin after an injury? Right? Is that the same question? Stitches that you get for a bad cut, bad wound. So Shmuel Zalman was of the opinion that stitching a person's body is tantamount to tofer midoraisa. Where does that come from? So some say that this does assume that the enterprise of this malacha of tofer applies to the guf ha'adam, even though many posts can reject it. I mean, who says that even if the pu'ula, the act, and even the tsura of what's taking place and what results is very similar when you're stitching skin together in the same way that you're stitching two garments together? Who says that that is going to fall under the same category of the malacha, that it is similar enough to what we find in the Mishkan? So Shlomo Zalman evidently assumed that it was. Others say Tofer B'Gufa Adam is automatically not a Chiyud D'Oraisa, only an Isra D'Rabbanan. Why would you say that it doesn't resemble the Mishkan? So if you think about it, in the Mishkan, you take A and you take B and you put them together. What if I have one entity, like my skin, and I'm just closing a little gap in between them, right? In between the two sides of that opening? You're not taking two distinct pieces of a garment, but you're just attaching the skin to itself. Maybe that's not Topher. That's one possibility. Nishmas Avram has another possibility as to why it's not Topher D'Oraisa, because you aren't attaching the skin. Right? When you stitch skin together, what are you doing? You're moving the two sides of the wound closer together so that on its own, the bond between one side of the skin and the other side of the skin will be formed naturally. So that's not really Topher. Topher is where it's your action that binds A to B. Here, you're just bringing the two together so that it will bind itself one to another. Shlomo Zalman is not so convinced that svara makes sense to absolve you of this malacha, because he says, you know, maybe that's what happens when you're Zoreya. I put seeds in the ground and I add water, right? And truth is that there's already seeds in the ground from before Shabbos, and I add water now, that's going to be Zoreya as well. So maybe you could argue that you see from there that even when a natural process results and the seeds now grow as a result of the water that you added, right? Not that pouring the water makes it grow. I put the water where it needs to be. I make sure that the seeds are situated in a moist area, and then their own koach will cause it to grow, to sprout. But that might not be a good analogy, because if the Torah prohibits Zoreya, that's what all Zoreya is. It is a natural process that you are putting in motion, that you are setting up, right? When you cook food, you're not transforming the food. You put it in a place where it's exposed to heat, exposed to water, exposed to whatever it is that that gives it the koach to cook, and that's what allows it to assume the process that ensues. But when it comes to tofer, there is a paradigm of the malacha that is humanly achieved, just that when you are when you're doing it this way, by stitching the human skin, it doesn't exactly function that way. So you can't bring a raya that Zoreya stol chayev, because of the natural process, that is the nature of the malacha. Whereas tofer could be that the only form of malacha that is chayev is where it is entirely the result of my actions, and therefore when I'm relying on the human skin to close up on its own, that's not my issue. The consensus of the poskim is that it's not d'oraisa. Stitching the skin is only a malacha d'rabbanan. But there are some more choshes that it's d'oraisa. There are some more choshes that it's d'oraisa. But the nafkamin is as follows. What's halacha? Kid gets an injury on Shabbos. Can he get stitched up? So it really depends. If it's a non-Jewish doctor, so in theory, it should be okay under most circumstances. The reason for this is because a child, especially if the child is not functioning normally or not fully healthy, has a status of chosein b'sakana, even if what's bothering him is not so severe. If an adult gets a little headache, he doesn't have a status of a chola. That's what we call a michush. Something's bothering you, but that's not a license, you know, it's not a license to employ refuah or to ask an anju to do a malacha for you. It may allow for lesser actions, but only when you have a child, only when the child is the focal point of the conversation, is the involvement of the guy okay under most circumstances, because the child has the status of a chol shem v'sakana. So therefore, even a malacha d'oraisa being done by the non-Jew is okay on behalf of the kid, and this would be included if obviously he's hurt and he needs to have the stitches inserted. That would be okay to ask a non-Jew to close the wound. Truth is, closing the wound is very important because it can lead to infection. If it's left to open for too long without properly closing, it could also cause infection. And in order to avoid that infection, we will certainly constitute a chol she'ein bo sakana status for the child, and maybe even for an adult. Have to know, if there's a danger of infection, maybe the adult will have a chol she'ein bo sakana status as well, and you'd be able to ask the non-Jew to stitch up for the adult as well. Question is, what if there's no concern for infection? What if it isn't really a medical reason? Sometimes people get stitches for cosmetic reasons, because if it's in the wrong part of your face, if it's a prominent location on your body, so they're going to have a scar for the rest of their life. It's going to be bad for shiduchim. Maybe it's going to be bad for someone's self-esteem. I mean, there are many reasons why people get plastic surgery, and often it's because they feel very uncomfortable with how they look, or they feel very self-conscious. Obviously, sometimes it's more necessary than other times. But the question is it sufficient for cosmetic purposes to have someone stitch up a wound, knowing that this person who got injured may suffer from a great deal of embarrassment from the scarring his entire life? So, obviously, it depends on how bad it is. If it is a child, the Mishnah Berurah brings that even the cosmetic purposes may be sufficient, because any tzrachim of the chola would be subsumed under the heter of a non-Jew doing a malacha for a kid, and because the kid has a status of chol she'ein bo sakana. If the doctor is Jewish, then it's not so simple, and a judgment call needs to be made to determine if the stitching really can be done on Shabbos, right? Because if you're dealing with a Jew, So he really shouldn't be able to do anything unless it's a cholash yish basakana. Otherwise, it could be malchad araisa or malchad derabanan, which is still prohibited for the guy to do under the circumstances, especially if the only concern is really just from a cosmetic perspective. So you have to see the degree of sakana, the possibility of infection. Usually, if it's just covered properly, that would be sufficient to avoid infection in the short term. It would be very hard to justify from a cosmetic perspective. And also depends on how long it is till Shabbos is over, right? You know, sometimes kids, they're playing ball on the Shabbos afternoon and someone gets hurt and Shabbos is over in 2 hours. So I've had a situation like this where, you know, I spoke to an ER doctor and it's like, yeah, it's fine, just like wait till Shabbos is over and you go to the hospital, just put on a Band-Aid, it'll be fine. Someone who's knowledgeable will be able to determine if it really makes a difference that the stitches are put in right away, or they wait a little bit, it's not going to be much of a problem. Let's add one additional curveball, and then we'll finish with that. When we discuss tofer, so the malacha is not limited to actually sewing thread to connect two pieces of garment. We alluded to this yesterday. The Rambam says that a tolda of the malacha is also gluing two pieces of paper together. That's also tofer. That's sewing. You're not using a needle and thread, you're using glue. It makes a lot of sense with what we said earlier from Moshe Feinstein, that the way you decide if something is tofer is what it would take to separate the two pieces that I put together, right? If you glue two pieces of paper together and you let it dry, right, you're not going to just be able to separate them like this, right? If you did that, it would probably tear. It would be korea. So that shows you, that demonstrates that it's subject to tofer right now when you connect the two pieces with glue. So that means perhaps that's something like butterfly band-aids, right? If they're applied close to the gap between the two edges of the skin so that it could heal properly, that might be a similar question where you're using the adhesive, not stitches, but even an adhesive to reunite those two pieces of skin that's separated in order to make it heal properly. One last thing to consider, when a doctor puts in stitches, so he ties them at the end so that they stay in. Okay? You stitch, and at the end, they tie a knot to make sure it holds. So this is exactly what we described yesterday in the Gemara. The Gemara says that in order to be chayav for tofer, it has to have at least two stitches, in and out, and then at the end, a knot. And therefore, if I'm putting in stitches, the question isn't really just tofer. The question is also kosher. That is a separate malacha. And for that reason, Shlomo Zalman said that even if you're going to put in the stitches when necessary and when appropriate, let's say a non-Jew, which Shlomo Zalman would say in many cases is acceptable, the last step, tying a knot at the end, is another malacha d'oraisa. Again, for a non-Jew, it won't be a problem any more than the tofer is. But for a Jew, it could be more than what is necessary to be done and more than what is permissible to be done. Again, even if you hold that the stitches are only tzir d'rabanan, the knot at the end would be d'oraisa. So for this reason, he says not to tie the knot when you put the stitches in at the end of the connecting two pieces of skin. Or after Shabbos is over, you could tie them if you need to. But even though that is Rav Shlomo Zalman's position, many poskim still allow the additional knot at the end to be tied. The reason for that is because we have to talk about the malach of kosher, which we have not gotten to. Let's say you tie a knot, and you never plan on untying the knot. Right? So the measure of chiyuv, the shear for one to be in violation of the malacha d'oraisa, when it comes to making a knot, it has to be a kesher shel kayam. It has to last for a long time. So what if I'm never going to untie it, but that's because I just have no need to untie it, and I just throw it in. Like, let's say a person ties a tie in a way that would be a kesher shel kayam, and they leave it like that. I had the same knot in my tie since before the pandemic, the tie I wear on Shabbos. Just put it on over my head, make it looser, make it a little tighter, but the knot is the same knot. Okay, so if that's a kesher shel kayama, which it is certainly at this point, but it's a kesher shel kayama that I'm constantly benefiting from, and I use it, and it serves a purpose to remain tied. But if you tie something and then you throw it out, and the only reason you didn't untie it is because why should I bother? It's a waste of time. I'm just planning to discard it anyway. Maybe that's not considered a kesher shel kayama. That's as far as the Maral Diskin. It's a chiddush. But the point is that just because it's a long-lasting knot, but it doesn't provide any function for me, so then it's not a kedushah koyama. That's one possibility. The other possibility for Shabbos Kachasa says, if you plan on cutting the knot off, and that negates the whole purpose of the knot in the first place, it may not be a kedushah koyama, right? So when you stitch the stitches, and then you have a knot at the end, sometimes they'll cut that knot off at some point later once the stitches are beginning to have their effect. And finally, it's important to note that nowadays our stitches are often self-absorbing into the skin, and the knot actually just falls off by itself. So that's another tzad lahakel, based in line with the previous far, is to say that's not really considered a kesher shakayama, because there isn't a long-term functional benefit of this knot, even though I am tying it when I originally put in the stitch.